everyone. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler, and I am Angela Butler. Tonight's guest is with author Katrina Walker. Katrina Carmichael, I apologize for that. She is a writer. So without delay, let me introduce. Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. Hello. How are you, Angela?
I'm great.
Can you hear
me?
Yes,
good. Great.
How are you doing? Great. Okay. So, author Katrina Walker, you're on Show Talk with Angela Butler, and it's a privilege to have you on the show. I just want to let you know because
you
are so inspirational in everything you have accomplished.
Thank you so much, Angela.
Yes, you're welcome, but it's all true. Now, you are a domestic violence survivor. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
My
I endured. I was just saying that I endured a lot of domestic violence, especially in my young years, younger age, marrying young. Just a lot of physical and mental abuse.
Okay. How was your childhood? That's the first thing that I want to ask, because there are millions of women who are victims of domestic violence, but you are a survivor. You're not a victim anymore. But what I'd like to know is if your childhood was a bad one. Or not? Did anything in your younger years before you became a, did any of that contribute to you perhaps marrying or being in relationships with abusive men?
Well, coming up, I witnessed a lot of domestic violence. The neighborhood, I wouldn't even say it was a neighborhood, Angela, because it was just a little small area that Black people, you know, lived in after about four or five streets. Once you crossed over about that fourth or that fifth street, it was a white, a Caucasian area, and we couldn't go past that area. So that little area that we were in, that I grew up in as a little girl, I would say going back, my mother came, I was born in Akron, Ohio, and my understanding, the story that was told to me, she came back, she actually told my grandmother that she was going to the store, and she had two war children, my brother and my sister, which they're five and a half. My brother's no longer living now, but he would have been 8 years older than I. Well, at any rate, my mother goes to the store, supposedly. She comes back a year later, of course. It takes 9 months to have a baby, but when she pulls up, she couldn't drive. Someone was driving her. She pulls up in the car.
Okay.
My sister comes to the car, and she says, huh, take her. So that's where my life began in Memphis, Tennessee. As a little baby, okay? And I guess around the age of four, I can just remember I had two younger sisters that are under me that were born, and their father was very abusive. Actually seeing him come down at her face while she would sleep with his work boots on, you know?
Okay.
Actually young enough to run to the door and see him on top of her just beating her. And women in the neighborhood walking around with black eyes and wearing sunglasses, shades, you know, during that time. So I witnessed a lot of that, but I kind of sheltered myself away from it because I used to look at all the good TV shows like Leave It to Beaver, which was a show where it was a family show and the mama and the daddy and the children, you know, and I just always pictured my life as being, you know, when I get older, you know, I'm going to get married and I'm going to, you know, but little did I know that marriage wasn't easy. It wasn't going to be like that. Not what I saw on TV. That is not what I endured. But yes, I witnessed a lot of physical and mental abuse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're a self-made millionaire, okay, Ms. Walker? You're a self-made millionaire. But there are millions of women who are still in that situation, who still are in that victim state. But you are one of the survivors. not just mm-hmm. because you're a self-made millionaire, not because you have 5 marriages, but because you're still alive, you're still going strong, and you're here to tell your story and encourage other
yes.
women,
absolutely.
Other people who are victims of abuse.
Mm-hmm. And what I
we both know there's more than one type of abuse. There's mental abuse, there's
mm-hmm.
physical.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Being a self-made millionaire, when you look back, and I believe you are a writer for Jet Magazine, or am I incorrect?
You're correct.
Am I incorrect?
Mm-hmm.
I'm correct. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, which is a big thing because I'm a writer, and I love to write poems
okay.
anyway.
Yes, okay.
That's not what the show is about.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell a woman who is contemplating leaving? Now, I've been in domestic violence relationships, also, but I've never been married. I'm in my mid-40s.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you tell a younger woman, maybe 20, 21, 18? Because we both know sometimes when a woman tries to leave or leave, she doesn't always live
mm-hmm.
do that because they find mm-hmm. them. But what advice would you give a woman who's realized that she is being abused and that this is normal, this is regular life?
Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad to hear you say, Angela, at 40, you're in your 40s, and you've witnessed or you've been a part or a victim, you know, because I think the younger people get it all a misconception of abuse. They don't realize that mental, you know, you can end up eventually losing your mind because it chips away at your brain, you know. It chips away little by little at your brain. And for him to reach back and hit you, I would tell a young woman to, first of all, if somebody's going to hit you, you need to get away. You need to get to a safe place. You need to talk to someone that you can truly trust. You don't stay in no horrible situation. And the reason why I say that, you may not live through it. I mean, it takes one blow, you know, not even one blow, you know, if somebody that hit you, and then they tell you they love you, and then you write back, you know. You cannot stay in a bad situation. I would say stay with that person and communicate. That's not the answer to me. If somebody try to hit you, and I've been there, I've had an iron thrown in my head in front of my 2- and 3-year-old children, where my son was young enough but yet old enough to say, Mama, duck. And that iron had to hit me, and I was 18 or 19 years old then at that time. So I say to that young woman, leave, get away, talk to somebody, get to a safe place, talk to someone that you can trust, and you get out of that because you may not live to be above ground. You will be in the ground. Domestic violence is horrible.
Yes, it is.
That's what
yes,
I would say. That's what I would say. I wouldn't dare tell her to stay because she may not make it through that situation. And by me saying stay, and there's something wrong with that person, the one that's doing you that way, there's something definitely wrong with that individual, so you got to get away and make sure that you're protected, that you're out of harm's way, that your children are out of harm's way if you have children.
Now, I don't know how aware you are of the criminal justice system, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Women are going to jail and prison. There are women in prison right now for killing their husbands, for being violent. And all those things, I know every situation is different, though. But the criminal justice system, the police, are putting women in jail, sending them to prison. That's why I say you're a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to prison for defending themselves, especially if they have a weapon, even if they don't kill anyone. How do you feel about the current criminal justice system?
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, criminal just sending women to prison who've been in relationships where they did bodily harm to someone or they have went to prison?
And are you saying if they're trying to protect themselves? They're protecting
themselves. Yeah, trying to protect themselves. Honestly, trying to protect themselves. Do you believe that the criminal justice system, in a lot of cases, is unfair to women? particularly black women.
Yes,
I'm not trying to say other races on abuse, but particularly to black women.
Yes, because if you hear me mention that my mother was in her sleep, and this woman was in her sleep with her child laying next to her, and this man worked for the prison, and he wore boots. Who comes down in a woman's face in her sleep with his boots on? Who takes a woman's high-heeled shoes and break every heel off that she owns? Who pulls the stereo up out of her stereo? Anything to hurt this woman? Who causes this woman, and I'm talking about my mom, to lose her mind where she's on the ground saying she's cutting, she's down in the valley, but she's cutting the grass with some scissors? You know, who does that? You know, who pushes a woman up in the corner? All she's trying to do is take care of her babies, take care of her children, take care of her man. Who tells a 30-something-year-old woman, just because somebody speaks to her and say, D, you sure look pretty, that she know when she get home she going to get a whooping? We ain't talking about a little kid. We're talking about a grown woman that she knows she going to get a whooping because somebody complimented her and he heard it. Who whoops a woman for not putting enough salt in the spaghetti? So, you know, things like that, you know, as far as the criminal justice system, no, it's not fair. It's not fair. But I also say that when women see these things happening, you know, back a long time ago when my mother came along, it wasn't jobs and different things that women could really do a whole lot other than keep, you know, children and that type of thing, you know, be the help. But now it's different. And if you see that you're in the situation, before it get to that, you know, it's time for you to try to get up out of there. Come up with a plan and get up out of there so it won't get to the point that somebody end up dead or hurt. That's what I think, you know. I mean, it don't just happen. It's something that gradually happens, so you already see the signs. So as a woman, when you see those signs, you know, it's time to go. It's, don't be afraid. You may be afraid, but you need to get to somebody. You need to go to the police. You need to, and a lot of times, these restraining, what I understand from the restraining orders and different things like that, those things don't always work. So you need to try to get to a family member. You still need to go to the law, but you still also need to get to somebody that you can trust and get away from that person before it escalates and get as big as someone getting killed and you end up doing time and serving time for this individual.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure a lot of those cases may be self-defense, but, you know, like I say, stuff don't just happen overnight. You gradually see that this person got issues. You see that this person, and you stay there, but before it blow up and escalate, you need to get the heck on out of there.
Yes, that's true. That is very true. I see, you know, the horrible thing about it is with the younger women, especially teenagers in high school that are being abused.
Yes.
They won't even tell their parents. Or the guardian.
Yes,
they won't tell them that the boyfriend is beating them or raping them or threatening them.
But, yes. But, you know, if you have a 14 or 15 or 16-year-old, you know, we got to go back to the basics of trying to know, you know, where your children are, what they're doing, or who they're involved with, and the people that are around them. Get to know who they're, you know, back in the day, they want to know who your parents are. You know, we need to get in their business. They ain't got no business. As a parent, we got to go back. Everybody needs to be family. I mean, we just got to take it on back, you know, to the basics. You know, be nosy. Know who this little boy is and who his mama is and how he thinks, how he acts. Get around him and see what's going on. You know, if they 14 or 15, they have no rights as far as that's concerned. You know, they still are a minor. So, therefore, they're immature. They can't think on their own. So, other people need to get involved. Mamas and aunties and, you know, uncles and daddies or whoever, everybody. It takes a village to raise children, you know? So we all need to, you know, just kind of pick in and see what's going on, you know?
Okay,
so if they don't tell it, if they don't tell it, you know, somebody going to know something wrong with little Johnny over here.
Okay.
Somebody going to know that little Johnny too old to be dating Sharita anyhow, you know? He's got a mind of an age. Or little Johnny got some issues at home with his family, you know? So that's where everybody needs to get involved. Somebody else needs to get involved with these teenagers, these young girls and boys as well. Because another thing I want to touch on is boys get abused as well. Even people with sons, with boys, they need to know what kind of girl that boys get involved with as well. It's not always the girl. It's some bad girls out here, too. So So it works both ways, you know.
Yes, it does.
We just need to get involved with our children, you know, and know what's going on in their lives.
Yes. Survivor and a self-made millionaire. You have your motivating life coach, your author of books. You have a record label, a holdings in a record label, 24-hour daycare. You have a Rainbow Kids Learning Center, and it's just so much that you are doing. And not only are you making money, you're helping people. You're helping millions with your life.
Yes.
You're being blessed for it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, that's just me all my life, Angela, and I say this from the bottom of my heart. I've always been a people person, even though, you know, I have children of my own, you know. But it doesn't matter. It goes further than that. When I mention a village to raise children, I've always been a concerned of people, you know. And I just want to see people live a better life and a good life, because a lot of us can. And I do believe, and I came up with a foundation called Be Blind Eye. You know, I believe that so many times now people are so caught up in their own lives that no one cares about the drug addict over there, you know, unless it hits home, it's somebody that they love or a family member or that woman or that young girl with a black eye. And sometimes all it takes is a kind word or some concern. And that's just me, you know. I love helping people. And I know that God has blessed me with a lot of knowledge, that you can't get a PhD for what I know. So what I do is I share that love with other people. You know, I'm not going to keep it to myself, you know. And it's a lot of people out there that's rich, that's got a whole lot of money, but they never talk about how did they get that money. I started from the bottom. You know, I went down and I came up. Nobody could say it better than my mother. She would hold her hands down. I had to go down and come up because I always figured it out. And this has been since I was about 4 years old, because I always was able to make my own decisions, even at a young age. I didn't have anyone that I had to go to and ask permission, can I go or can I do? And I always, even at the age of 8, I knew better. You know, when I say better, I like better things in life, you know. And I knew that I had to get out and work. So at 8, I formed a business. At the age of 8 years old, I was waking up my sisters and I was waking up my cousins, whoever spent the night, you know, to get up, you know, gather up all the bottles, you know. And when they gathered them up, we would go to the store. So I had sense enough then to go to the store, because my mother left us a quarter piece. That wasn't enough then. So I knew how to go to the store with those, make them stand out. I go in and negotiate with the people, come out with dollars, and pay everyone. And that was the age of 8. So I've always knew how to go out and fend for myself, how to survive and how to make it, you know, what I'm going to eat, figure out what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to do, and how I'm going to get there. So I've always done it all my life. And what I do now is, like I say, try to help others. There's so many people that I've helped and showed them the way to make money and to have a better life, because it's really not that hard. It wasn't that hard for me, because you got to come up with a plan. You know, it didn't happen overnight, you know, and you got to take the things that you know, and you have to make it work. And number one, you got to keep God first, and you can't be lazy. And I tell people, you've got to make good choices in your life. I go by 3 nouns, Angela, and it's called people, places, and things. And I think that if people go by that, choose good people in their life, they got to be careful who they're around, you know. And you want people of likeness. You don't want people telling you how to get this big car or this big house or get out of jail and you got a life sentence, you know, or how to get a husband and you've never been married, you know. So you want to listen to people that know how to get to these things, people, places, and everybody's not going to inherit things like Donald Trump. Like I say, I wasn't able to get anything from anyone. I had to start strictly from the bottom and work my way up. And that's why I can tell people how you do it, you know. People, the places that you go and the things that you do, it's choices. Everything in life is a choice.
Okay. All right. So not only are you a domestic violence survivor, there's more to you than that as a woman, as a human being. You're a businesswoman. You're a philanthropist. You help people. I mean, you write books. I know that you you have a media campaign currently going on, will be going, am I right? About Shine
Yes, you're right.
On,
right.
on male and female perspectives about domestic violence or areas of abuse, encouraging way out of victims of it.
Yes.
So
yes.
You were saying that know who your children are. I got that. Sons and daughters, especially if they're teenagers in high school. But you also were saying you have to be careful of the people you allow around you. And what I call that is the inner circle, your inner circle.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
A lot of people,
and,
you know,
like
even
I say,
in this day and age, people don't realize that. They don't seem to realize that they can be influenced by people who are close to them.
Yes.
My grandmother used to say it's only those close to you that can hurt you. But when I say influence, they don't necessarily have to be hitting you. They can be telling you there's nothing wrong with what's going on, even if it's abuse, things like that, because they may really believe that, even in 2015.
I'm a true believer. You know, I know that children, me myself, I feel that when you got young, when you have young children, 13, 14, even younger, you know, you want to be aware again as to who their friends are, you know, and what they're doing. And like it was back in the day again, you know, who's your folks, you know? You know about the parents. Get to meet the parents, you know? And I think that that would cut down on a whole lot of things as far as alcohol and drugs and things like that, because I came up in an era where, you know, you didn't have a bedroom where you could just shut the door and the parents got to knock on it to come in. You know, you don't own this house, you know? And I think that you should know and be aware of what your children are doing. Bottom line, you know, everybody's got a phone, and I know things have changed, but you need to know what your children are doing, you know, and it can happen to anybody. You can be, it's no such thing, I don't believe, as a perfect parent, but at least try to be involved and know what your children are doing, know where your children are, you know, because if you don't, you know, I mean, they could be doing almost anything, you know, I mean, they can be in smoking drugs, smoking, you know, turning into an alcoholic, you know. They could be having unsafe sex, you know. They could be doing, you know, all kind of things right up under your nose, you know, and you wouldn't even know, you know. So you need to get involved. You need to know what they're thinking. You need to know what they're doing, you know, and you need to constantly let them know how much you love them. And I'm telling you, if you don't talk to your children yourself, they're going to learn it from the street. And you don't want the streets to bring up your kids. You just don't. It's too much that's happening nowadays. You don't want the streets to raise your children, you know, or your child. You better talk to them and let them hear it the right way. From mama, dad, auntie, or uncle. But the street's going to tell them the wrong way.
Okay. All right. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thank you. It's
wonderful to be able to talk to you and interview you.
Thank you, Angela.
Your advice was to get out. To me, a man that abuses a woman, vice versa, is they've seen abuse, they've seen violence. That's what I've always been taught. That they have seen it themselves, or experienced it themselves. And they do what they learn to do. Do you agree with that? What they know to do, what they've seen done by the older people, the parents, maybe guardians. Do you agree with me on that?
Yes. I can say somewhat yes, that maybe it's something that they've seen, but I don't know if it's that a man intimidates a woman, you know, because my mother, I remember hearing her say that no woman can whoop a man. She's not strong enough, you know. She just can't whoop a man, you know. She can't just beat him like Mayweather, you know. And for a man to come back and draw his fist back and hit a woman with a closed fist or stomp her in her face, you know, and you stay there, you know, that's the thing that I can't understand. You know, a lot of times within my case, you know, I stayed because I had women telling me from old school, older women, you know, just stay. It's gonna be so hard. It's gonna be so hard out there. And I had four little babies. You know, you ain't gonna be able to make it. You know, and that was so far from the truth. It was a lie. You know, but that's what they thought. And when my husband didn't come home night sleeping with other women, you know, when he wouldn't come home, it'd be daylight. Right now, it's about 5:30 in the evening. It would be daylight, and he may not, and I run to the door or to the window when I hear a car door open, thinking it was him. And he'd come in whenever he felt like. He'd be with some other woman. And I would call my mother, and I remember one particular time I was so hesitant about calling my mother. I didn't want to wake her up, and she told me, she said, you know what, Frina, She said, don't wake me up no damn more. She said, he's going to come in there. She called him that N-word. That N going to come in there with a long A lie. But, you know, all of that was abuse, you know.
Okay.
I'm talking coming from him. Because, you know, it just, I mean, it hurts so bad to know that your husband is laying out with another woman and he just comes in whenever he, and then when he comes in, he wants to fight you. You're the one that's been treated wrong. But he wants to fight you, and he's left you at home with poor little baby. So I say mental abuse is horrible. Don't stay in that situation. It's not going to get no better, you know. The disrespect, the fighting, the arguing, the cursing, you know. It's just, it's cussing you out, you know, cussing the children out. You know, it's horrible. So don't stay in that mess. It's just a bunch of mess.
Okay, yeah. You're right. And I don't get that part, being out with other women and then coming home and beating your wife in front of your children. That part, I'll never understand. But then I've also never been married.
Okay. Right.
I've never been married.
You know, and a lot of times in your mind, you know, people are saying if you leave or if you go and you got four little babies, you know, you're not going to be able to survive financially. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm already struggling with this person until it gets to the point that you're homeless. You have nothing. You're riding around in a 15-passenger van with two seats and four little babies and a no-good husband. It gets to the point that enough is enough. And you start pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. And you decide, hey, I can do better than this. God didn't intend for me to be down in the valley. I can do better than this. I can do better than this. Every time you look up, it's just always something. Nothing ever is good. Every time you figure something out, this person pulls you back down. You know, and that's why I go back to people, places, and things. You've got to get baggage and garbage out of your way and keep it moving. It do get better. When you move that baggage out your way, it gets better. Your head gets clear. You can think. You can think now.
Yes, you're not confused. Your mind isn't cluttered with bad things, negative things, horrible things.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, absolutely. You talk about different types of domestic violence. Cultural. Would you talk a little bit more about the cultural that you lived in that a lot of women in our age group lived in, and a little bit more about the financial abuse, not just the physical and mental abuse from your point of view?
Being married and the person that you're with, if it's some money comes in, I don't care. If a penny comes in, he owes back a nickel because he borrowed from Peter to pay Paul, you know, and everything that you ever have. You don't know if the utilities, how you're going to pay your utilities. Those are the things that I struggled with, just never having enough because he didn't know. He mismanaged every penny that would come into our home. He didn't think about the children. You know, if it was one piece of chicken, he would eat it up. Forget the kids. You know, I was the one that always had to figure things out. So, you know, that's all that is mental. It's mental abuse. When you got someone in your life and they're with you and they can't help you to provide, you know, for the family, you know, it's horrible. And again, you know, the mental abuse is horrible as far as the way that person treats you, the way that he talks to you, the way that he talks to the children, you know. And I went through a lot of that, you know, having to even protect my little children, you know, when they were very small. And if he would come in at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and say they left a big wheel outside, he said he would cuss me out and say, you know what, you know, if I come back in here and they've got that big wheel outside, they're going to be woke up. And you had to stand up for your little babies, you know, for the little kids, you know, to this man. So it's just, it's a lot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. All that's abuse.
Yes, it is. There are other types of abuse. I don't know how aware you are of it, but a woman can be working, married, have 3 or 4 kids, maybe more, maybe less, and her husband takes all her money. And she's worked 40 or 50 hours a week. And her husband takes all her money. It's not necessarily her husband. It could be her children's dad.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
And again,
I'm
if
just
you hear me speak, I talk about
financial.
I talk about a plan, and what I did was, Angela, I put a plan together, and I call it POP. You hear me speak about that in my book, and it's put it on paper, you know. I always kept a journal. I began to start writing things each day and coming up with a plan. You come up with a plan on how you're going to get away from this person and what you're going to do and how you're going to manage the money that you have. But you come up with a plan on where you're going to go, you know, and it's going to all come together. It's going to come together. But you've got to come up with a plan as far as your money, your finances. And if that person is going to keep you down and out and taking every dime that you make, you need to get away from that person, you know. I know it sounds like I say get away, get away, get away. But if the person, say that person, your husband, is not, you know, he's not beating you, okay? And it's not the mental abuse. Say it's not the mental or the physical abuse going on. But he's just not financial, you know, where he's taking the money, he's gambling it off, he's spending it on women, he's doing whatever, you know. And you all never have a penny, never have enough, rather. You're living from not even paycheck to paycheck. You just never have enough because of this individual. So you know what? If you try to communicate and you all try to come to some type of, you know, get some help where y'all can sit down and get some type of counseling or the two of you all come up with something and try to get this person to change. And if this person's behavior do change and y'all truly love each other, that's a great thing. But if that person don't ever want to change and he want to live like this in his life, I would have no parts of it, you know, because that's going to just keep you down. You know, you'll never have nothing. And that's not the way life is supposed to be. You know, I'm all for marriages working, you know, and relationships, good, healthy relationships. And everything is not going to always be perfect. I do understand that. But some people are not working and willing to try to make things better. And I'm supposed to stay in bad shape the rest of my life with you and you don't want it to be no better? I don't think so. I don't think nobody's supposed to be in that kind of shape. Nobody. I'm just keeping it real. And that's what I do. Yeah. I keep it real.
You're right. Okay. So you are a great example of a woman, a human being, who's learned how to beat the odds when they're stacked against you. I mean, you've been a witness to cultural demands, and you learned all that and turned you motivational and a tool to fight for victimhood. I mean, so you're really a wonderful role model. I mean,
thank
for
you,
women,
Angela.
Yeah, who've been in abusive relationships and things like that. To you, what is the in your book? Let's talk about your book. You've wrote a book. I would like for you to talk about the book that you have wrote and all the books that you have written, and let people know where they can go to buy or find those. But if there's any websites, stores, distribution chains, Books a Million, or Barnes and Noble, just talk about that too.
Okay, the book hadn't actually hit the stores yet, but it will be sometime early next year. So, you know, I'll be, you know, letting everybody know where the book is and where they'll be able to purchase it at. Yeah, all that information will be, you know, going out as soon as the book is, you know, available.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But the book will be called Down Home Truth.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Angela. The book will be called Down Home Truth, okay? And it will be available, like I say again, early next year. And one thing about it, what I do is give people real, you know. It may not be, I'm going to tell you, it may not be what you want me to say, but I tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help people. That's what I do. I help people.
So I was reading your website, www.MissKatrinaWalker.com.
Yes.
There was something I did not know about you, that you could remember when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. visited Memphis.
Yes, I can remember that also well. You know, I was a little girl, but I can remember how horrible it was when he was actually assassinated. You know, it looked like he just saw a lot of fires. And even before that, you know, garbage was everywhere. And my grandfather was one of the sanitation workers that Dr. King and everybody was coming to help. And I just remember just garbage, you know, the sanitation workers were on strike. So as a little girl, you know, just garbage everywhere in everybody's yard, just all around everywhere. And when once, like I say again, when he was assassinated, you know, all the rioting, all the looting, you know, fires, I just remember it all. You know, it just was such a sad, sad, sad day, you know, for everyone. Everybody was crying. I just remember everybody crying, and it just was a dark, 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 dark day, dark, 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 dark place for a long, 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 long time.
Yes, now. Even though I'm in my mid-40s, I have only recently learned about the sanitation workers and while he was there in Memphis, Tennessee. And the way I learned about it is because of YouTube. I didn't know that about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I didn't, according to the things I've seen on YouTube, there were two sanitation workers, black male sanitation workers in Memphis, Tennessee. So I'm pretty certain I'm right, who were trying to get out the rain. Is that correct?
Yes. And, right, that's correct. And I understood that they was, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And they went, I believe, in a garbage truck or something similar to
a garbage truck. Yes, just wide, wide,
wide. Yes. Yes, ma'am. They were killed. Okay, if I'm, am I correct on that? They wasn't even called sanitation.
You're correct. And they wasn't even called, I could say again, my granddaddy was one of those sanitation workers, not one of the ones that was on the back of that truck trying to stay out of the rain, that end up getting smashed and killed. But I just remember my grandfather, you know, they didn't have the decency to call these people, these men that was working so hard to just, you know, collect the garbage. They called them garbage men. Not sanitation workers, but garbage. Here come the garbage man, you know. So they didn't, no respect whatsoever.
Yes, and that was from ignorance.
Yes, it was. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
So I've experienced racism. It might have been a little different than everybody else, but I've been spit on. I've been called the N-word that nobody likes to hear. I've been called it by black people, too, but for some reason when you spit on and you call that by another race, in my case with white people, it hurts, and it makes you mad, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I understand racism, too, and I still go through it at times, but I've learned that even with other races hating me, there's some hatred in my own race, and, you know, can't do anything about it.
I just feel that it's bad
when you have to fight racism with white people, even in this day and age, and then try to deal with hatred in your own race. It really is hard. But that's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. And I think that what we have to do is look at people hard. You know, people, you know, I mean, it's a multicultural world, you know, and if we look at the fact that God made us all, and He made us all, and when He made us all, He said that we're good, you know, it's good, you know, and me myself, you know, honestly, I don't believe that one race of people is no better than the next race of people. I think that we all are made equal, and we all are people, and we all really should love one another, but, I mean, I know that's what I wish, you know, but that's not realistic, you know, because if you cut the news on, we already know what's going to happen or what's happening, you know, and how times have changed, you know. I mean, it's pretty, pretty awful, you know, when people are actually killing their own parents, you know. So it's really, really bad, you know, now. But I think that if we do more of not worrying about the color of a person's skin and just look at that person's heart, we would get a lot further, you know. Just look at that person's heart, because it's good people. It's still, as bad as this world is, it's still some good people, Angela. you know. And it doesn't matter what color they are. Even if they're a green person, you know, if they got a good heart and they're a good person, that's what matters to me.
Yes, that is what matters. And I didn't realize it when I was like a teenager in my early 20s, even my mid-20s, but now in my mid-40s, mm-hmm. I realized that. I don't know. I guess because I wasn't mature enough. Hadn't lived long enough.
Yeah.
But I realized that now. Well, before now, but there was a time when I didn't understand that.
Well, that's a great thing, but you know that now. That's good.
Yes, so the 24-hour daycare, I think, was a stroke of genius. Real smart.
You know, I was just sitting back and I was thinking the other day, Angela, that I've always thought, per se, as people say, outside the box. You know, I've always done things, you know, differently, you know, than others. You know, anything that I do, you know, I'm going to think of something to make it better for the people. You know, something that somebody wouldn't normally think of, my mind goes somewhere else. And with the 24-hour daycare, I knew that people worked other than 9 to 5, and most daycares would open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., but everybody don't work those hours. You know, now we got people that work, we got nurses, you know, that want a safe and a great place to leave their children where they don't have to worry about them. We got warehouse workers. We have beauticians. No, everybody's not on this set shift. So that's when I came up with 24-hour daycare where children could roll in and roll out based on the parents' work schedule or if they're in school or what have you.
Okay.
That's where I came up with that, the 24 hours. And it worked out great, you know, for a lot of parents. They didn't have to rush and they didn't have to, you know, and I knew that it would help my parents because I knew that my daycare was a great, again, a great daycare, not just a good daycare. People knew that I was a mother, and I took very good care of my own children, you know. And I love, love, love children, and I was going to handpick everybody that worked for me under my direction. And, you know, my thing is, taking care of the little babies, you know, it's so much abuse even amongst children, you know, it's just so much sickness out there that people will hurt a baby, you know, and I knew, I said, if I could take them all and take care of them, I would, you know, but I love, love, love babies. I love little children, and I want to make sure, like God, that take care of my little babies, so when they're with me, they're safe. Mama can go on where she want to go and come back and know her children, they're fine. They are perfectly fine.
Okay. So you also have the Blind Eye Foundation. You talked a little bit about it earlier.
Oh, yes.
Mission and motto of the Blind Eye Foundation, which is wonderful. I have a smile about that. Be the difference.
Thank you
so much.
And not
turn a blind eye to society.
Yes. And I came up with that, Angela, you know, I was just thinking about how, like I said, a lot of people go home and they go eat their meat and their potatoes or go about their lives, you know, and they forget about everybody else, you know. You know, you think about when you're out eating all the food that gets thrown away, you know. And just, like I said, again, that mother with that black eye. And I guess the thing that touches me the most, a lot of things touch me, but drug and alcohol abuse, you know. I just hate it. I just hate to see. I have a sister that's on drugs, and my mother used to sit at the table and hold, she's not living now, and hold her head down and swing back and forth and say, where did I go wrong? And I said, Mama, you didn't go wrong. She's talking about my sister, Mona. Where did I go wrong? And she said, I won't live to see her come get off of drugs, and she didn't. And Mona's still alive, but I had a nephew that was on drugs, and he did time, got out, and about a day after doing time, got back on crack cocaine, and I did everything I could possibly do. And it's so hard dealing with an addict. And I always see people just pushing baskets and looking like they just don't know which way to go. And I said, you know what? I'm going to build a facility to sit these people down and get a full-time doctor or full-time nurse on staff, you know, to check them out and try to get them some help because everybody don't have the proper insurance or know how to even get the insurance that they need to get the help that they need. They're just walking around mentally disturbed and don't know where to go. And I said, I want to help these folks. I said, you know, we have a lot of churches, of course. You know, I live in a Bible Belt community, you know, and there's churches almost on every corner. And no offense to the churches, but when it gets to be zero below and ain't nobody opening up their doors and cutting their lights on and helping these people, only maybe at Christmas and Thanksgiving, these folks need some help. You know, so God put it on my heart. I got to help. I got to help to do something. I can't save the world, but I'm going to do the best that I can. And my goal is when I lay down at the end of the night that I've helped somebody. And I want to put that out to other people, too. I want to challenge them, you know, let's help somebody. You know, let's help somebody. There's nothing wrong with telling that lady that her hair is pretty. You don't know what she just went through. That don't cost you nothing to be nice. So those are the things that, with the Blind Owl Foundation, that I'm doing to just try to make the world a better place. You know, teach people, you know, how to love again, how to help again, how to care again, you know. I mean, where has everything gone? What happened? What happened to the world? You know, what happened? People used to care. What happened?
The hearts are cold. I read that in the scripture about the hearts of people have turned cold.
It's sad, you know, because we used to at least have some, we still have some good music, but we had the Marvin Gaye's, What's Going On, you know, when I was coming up. You know, we had the Temptations. We had all the different lyrics to kind of help, you know, the people. We still have good music and good artists out there, but you know what? The world got to just, people just got to come back together. We got to start being more neighborly. You know, we got to know who our neighbors are next door. You know, we got to go back to asking for a cup of sugar. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop talking about people. I got life to get if you got them. We got to care about your children as well as my own, you know? If I got enough to get over here, come on over here with John and eat. You know? We got to start back being a family and start back caring and do something with this hatred and stop being so jealous, you know? You know, jealousy is a sin. You know, we just got to start loving more. We got to.
Yeah.
If we don't, this world is, where are we going to be 10 years from now? Please tell me.
Yes. I hate to think of what it's going to be like 10 years from now because I have grandchildren.
And so do I.
Really?
And so do I.
I don't think so.
And it's about the grandchildren.
I pray about
it's
it.
Another generation.
I think about it.
Yeah. We don't stop praying about it, but, you know, we got to go back to the basics. We do. And it's got to start. You know, our parents, our grandparents, they carried that baton. They carried that torch. You know, those women worked hard cooking those Sunday dinners. Family together, got them greens in the kitchen and them pots boiling. They worked hard to keep the family together. You know, nowadays, when mom and dad don't nobody even speak to each other no more. They mad about
Not even family.
You know?
Not even your own family.
Not even family. Not even your own family. They mad about something they ain't even remember that they mad about. You know, makes no sense. Makes no sense. And then that leaves my sister children, per se, and her children, because she mad. They don't even get to meet each other, the other generation. They grow up not even knowing each other. And it makes no sense. So we got to go back to the basics. We got to go where grandmama left off. Because now we grandmama. All it do is flip over, it turns over. That's all it does. We just got to go back, you know, to the basics and start back to caring. And start back to loving one another, you know, and stop being so hateful and so jealous, you know.
Yes, because jealousy, you're right, is a sin. So is hatred.
It is.
And just to say, oh, they're just jealous. Well, to me, jealousy is hatred.
It is.
To
me. One and the same. Yes, it is.
To me, it's just nothing but hatred. And I know other people.
I totally agree.
They told me, they said, no, you're wrong. Jealousy is not hatred. It's just wanting what somebody else has. You have something that person wants, whether it be a man or a material item or something. I said, but it's a sin, just like you said. And to me, in my opinion, jealousy is hatred.
It is. I totally agree, you know. And we're not supposed to be that way. We really, really, really are supposed to be happy for one another. Because if we got any sense and we know whatever is meant for you is meant for you, we all have a DNA, of course. You know, but Angela, whatever God got in store for you is for you, and whatever is in store for me. And we all have a gift. If we get that in our head,
we all have a gift.
I may be able to do something. We all got a gift. This person might be
God
the president of the United States, but I may know how to sow and weave something. I And I call a beautician. I call her an architect because sometimes you can sit in her chair and your head may be looking just messed up. And you can leave out of there and she can fix that hair up so pretty with them two hands.
Yes, yes. I have
and
a
also,
beautician named Antoinette.
Yes. You know, so, you know, we all have a talent and a gift. You understand what I'm saying? And it ain't even about, you know what, an armor truck ain't never followed nobody to the cemetery. We need to get that out of here. It's nice to make money, but whatever God got in store for you, he's got to bless you with that. You understand what I'm saying?
But
that's
it's,
just how
it's
it is.
Just...
So we don't need to get so wrapped up in all this stuff. I call it stuff. Whatever he blesses you with, that's all well and good, but don't get to the point that you get just wrapped up in it, and that's everything to you. That's
yes,
not
ma'am.
The way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be happy for one another and know whatever our gift is, whatever our talent is, you know, we know that we're all blessed with some type of gift. We have to find our niche. We have to find our niche. And just make life better for ourselves, you know. We got to love ourselves. And it's just so much I have in my book to tell people, to teach them. You know, and these are life lessons. Like I said, I didn't go get a PhD for this. This is knowledge that I've learned all my life. I was born to know what I know, and I've learned things all my life just through experiences. And those were good experiences.
Yes, you're also not a negative person. You're a positive person. You're a positive woman.
I don't believe
positive human.
I don't believe in no negative stuff, you know. I don't believe in speaking negative things into existence. They're lies. I call them negative lies. You know, your thoughts are everything in you. You know, if you think negative thoughts, that's just the way it's going to be. Think it and see how it be. If I keep thinking long enough that I got a headache and I feel bad, if I look outside and say it's a terrible day, I'm going to begin to believe it. That's the way I'm going to feel all day long. I don't think like that. I think good thoughts. I don't entertain negative thoughts.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. So I have that problem with negativity. I'm one of those people. I've been trying all my life and praying even about it. Most people say the glass is half full. And I'm doing better with this over the years. I really have. But there was a time in my life when I would say the glass is half empty when a positive person was full. So I've got better, much 90% better with negativity, but there was a time I was a very negative person.
That's good. That's perfect. That's perfect, Angela. And everything's a start, and to be able to say today, you should just cheer for yourself to say that I thank God that I'm not that woman that I used to be, that I know better than I do.
Yes,
you understand what I'm saying? So be thankful that you still are not in that place anymore, because it had to be a horrible place to have negative thoughts. You know, but you thought you changed your thinking, sweetheart.
Yes.
You changed your thinking, and,
well,
and that's not an easy thing to do. But
it
can
it
be done.
For not liking
it can be
myself.
Done.
Not. I didn't like myself. I always I'm in my 40s. There was a time in my life I'm not like that anymore. Everybody was prettier than me. You know, that's how I always saw it. Not as a teenager.
And those, you know what I
want to
tell you too. Those
as
were
I went through the abusive
lies.
Relationship. Yeah. That's when I started thinking and feeling that way. Hair wasn't long enough. I went to weed.
Those were all lies.
You know, things
those
like
were
that.
All lies. To anything. You kept telling yourself that same stuff over and over, and that's why you began to believe it. And it was all a lie.
I did.
It was all a lie. You, in your mind, you were telling yourself these things, and it was all a lie. But thank God that you were able to change that lie.
I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where God would want me to be yet, but I'm trying.
But you know what? You're
going
to keep striving to get there, and you just said you're going to keep trying. You ain't going to stop till you get there. And all of that, you got to tell yourself positive things. That will change. That will change. You're thinking, if you change it from where you were then and you got to where you are now, and then you want to go even further, oh, you know what? The sky is the limit. You're going to touch the moon, honey. You're just and keep telling yourself, I'm fine. That's what you have to. You have to tell yourself positive things. You have to. You got to speak that to yourself. Nothing negative. When something negative enters your mind, you get that out of your head, because it ain't true. It's a negative lie. Negative thoughts are negative lies. That's what they are.
Hello,
that's how
I apologize.
Build up fear.
I got cut off. I apologize. Keep talking.
Yes, I was just saying that those were a bunch of negative lies. You know, negative thinking are negative lies. When you think negative, you know, it's just no truth to it. And you know what? It will really destroy you. It will really take you on out of here because you really keep telling yourself all this bunch of bull crap, and you start believing it.
Yes, but
I mean,
that didn't really start.
You. It destroys you.
Until I started getting, until my first relationship, my abusive relationship, and for some reason I continued that pattern, and as time went on, I just didn't like myself. I started to think of wasn't good enough. But believe it or not, I was not brought up that way. That there, no family is perfect. No family is perfect. I mean, my family has
no
fault,
family
feel,
perfect.
Had its fault then, and it has now, but I was not brought up to feel less than, to feel bad about myself, to feel ugly, to feel unintelligent. My mother was the type of person, she didn't compliment her daughters a whole lot, but she could be hard, you know, on her, especially me and my other sister, the sister that's under me, because I know my mother's children. But she didn't call us ugly or things like that. That negativity and that dislike was must have developed after I was out my mama's house. That's what an abusive relationship can do. It can really mess your mind up and run you crazy, especially if you keep repeating it over and over again.
Yes,
but there's a God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And yours actually happened when you were in a relationship, you say, when you came out of that relationship.
Yes, I've never been married for this reason or that reason. But I'm still, you know, if it happens, it happens, you know.
But the good thing is, good part, Angela, is that, like you said, you have strived to make that effort, that your thinking is a lot better, and you can say that it's a lot better than where it was, and you're still trying to get there, and you're working to get there. So that's a blessing.
Yes, I am. But I'm not where I used to be, but not where I should be either, but I'm still a work in progress for God. You know,
that's
what I like
to say. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. And stay, you know, just stay prayed up and know that it do get better. It do get better. You'll get to where you're trying to get to. And the thing is, you know that you're trying to get somewhere because it's almost like an addict. You know, until he admits that he's an addict or that he has a problem, you know, he's never going to be all right, you know, because he's got to admit it. You know, as long as he looks in the mirror and says, I'm all right.
I think you're
counseling
me. I think you're counseling me. Like you do at Blind Eye Foundation, but thank you. But it's been beautiful talking to you. We've got about 75 seconds. I mean, you're a wonderful person, inspirational, and God has really blessed you for all you have done for other people, and he's blessed you for doing that for other people. Anything you would like to say?
I just want to, you know, just tell the people that are listening, you know, that whatever they're going through, you know, it do get better, you know, and just take it from me, you know, somebody that has actually walked the shoes of going through a lot. I don't pretend everybody goes through something like you mentioned earlier. You know, no one has this perfect life or perfect household. You know, you go up one mountain, here come another one, you know. But you know something, God is such an awesome God. He'll see you through it. Because, you know, like I said, I went through it. I went down and came up so many, many, many times. And I just want people to know that if they get up off their butt, come up with a plan, you know, it's just not going to fall out the sky. I don't believe in magic or four-leaf clovers or that I'm going to win the lottery, you know. Get up and make things happen. And it can happen. It can happen. America we live in, you can do anything you want to do. Anything's possible.
Yes.
And I want one more thing I want to say is that, you know, when I was coming up, you know, they told all the little black boys they could be president of the United States. And every president that we looked at, you know, that we even recited, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and the list go on, all the way to Bush. You know, we never see no president. So what do we have to believe in?
No.
Okay, but what? My mother didn't live to see it, but we have a black president and a wonderful black, beautiful first lady, you know. And what I'm trying to say is, in this world, people can do anything you want to do. It does not matter your color, your skin, your sexual orientation, anything in this world you can do. Get up off your butts and make it happen. And it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. It happened for me, and it can happen for you. And you. Thanks, Angela.
Yes. All right, you're more than welcome. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela.
Thanks
Butler,
for having me.
Miss Katrina Walker.
Thank you, Angela. I don't know if you have my Facebook or not, but it's The Katrina Walker. Like me.
Okay. All right. She's on Facebook,
thank
ladies. Miss Katrina Walker. Her website is Miss Katrina Walker. Also, Miss Katrina Walker. .com, and so that will tell you something about her too. It's Miss Katrina Walker .com, and as you just heard, she is on Facebook. This lady is
The Katrina Walker, T-H-E Katrina Walker. The Katrina Walker is my Facebook, and I have a lot of great things on Facebook.
This lady, I just think that you just heard on Show Talk with her is really an inspiration. She took the bad and turned it into something positive. And people who have survived domestic violence, no matter what race you are, nationality, or what continent, you know, if you survive domestic violence, you're no longer a victim, you're a survivor. Now, all of us won't be a self-made man yet, there, like Miss Katrina Walker. But if you survived it, you lived, and you tell about it, then you are a survivor and not a victim. That's what I want to say. And that's my point of view. So you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Again, the guest was Miss Katrina Walker. And I was very impressed by Jet Magazine. that was the most impressive part of all, because I've started that right, and I got a few books coming out. But go to her website, and she's on Facebook. She's really inspirational, and as you can tell by the interview, she's a positive person. She's a positive person. She's not a negative person. So, I believe she's still on. Miss Katrina, are you still on?
Yes, I'm still here.
Well, thank you very much for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. And I'm going to say goodnight to everyone. You'll be able to listen to this episode.
Thank you, Angela, for having me so much.
Too.
Thank you.
I'm going to send her agency a link. You're more than welcome, Ms. Walker. I'm going to send her agency a link of the interview, and hopefully they'll forward it to her. But like I said, you can listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler. And you can listen to this show immediately. But I'm also going to promote the show on the usual social media sites, Facebook and Pinterest and my Google Share Plus, not on YouTube. But anyway, I'm going to do what I've been doing for almost the last 6 years. And everyone, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. And you will be able to hear this show immediately. Well, within the last five minutes once it ends. But I'm also going to promote it. So go to my Facebook pages, all four of them. Angela Butler Facebook page. There's the Show Talk with Angela. There's three of those. Go there. Four, and there's my Google Share Plus. Go there, and you'll be able to click on the link and listen to this interview. So, everyone, have a good night.